Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is so good to be here tonight. And we are so blessed to have this opportunity. You know, it's quite a thought when we realize that the Lord Jesus himself is right here with us. And he will be listening as we sing unto him and worship him and praise him. Oh, what a thought. But he is right here with us, just as he promised he would be. Before we do anything here tonight, I'm going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night, grateful, O God, that thou hast given us this place where we can come together, where we can worship thee together, where we can be in thy presence together. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here tonight would be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. I pray that thy Spirit would be here tonight. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. Help us, O God, to draw nigh unto thee. And I pray, Lord, that thy presence would be upon us, O God, as we worship thee. Inspire us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And I ask, O God, that everything will be done according to thy perfect will. In the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we are going to start with number 13 in the chorus book tonight. Have thine own way, Lord. Number 13. Have thine own way.
Thine own way, Lord,
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, yes, we need Him to have His way here tonight. Praise God. Well, why don't we go now to number 48 and sing, They That Wait Upon the Lord, because that's where we find our strength in the Lord. Number 48. Wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, we're all human and sometimes we get tired, and I know I've been very, very busy this last week, but I am so thankful, you know, with the Lord's help, I was able to finish that newsletter, and we're going to be printing that tomorrow and mailing it out, and you know, that's just something I couldn't even do without the Lord's help and without the Lord's strength, and I am so thankful that He enables us to do these things, to work for Him. We have no ability of our own, but He gives us that ability, and He is able to make a way where there is no way. He can make a way when things seem impossible. And I know the Lord will make a way for us if we just believe. So why don't we go to number 31 and sing, I know the Lord will make a way. Number 31. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. He'll heal your body, He'll save your soul, He'll make you happy, He'll make you whole. What God can do if you believe. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way.
will lay his hand on me. I know the Lord will lay his hand on me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will lay his hand on me. I know the Lord will answer all my prayers. I know God can do if you believe. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. He'll heal your body, he'll save your soul, he'll make you happy, he'll make you whole. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will lay his hand on me. I know if I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will lay his hand on me. I know the Lord will answer all my prayers. I know if I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will answer all my prayers. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, there's, while we were singing that chorus, another chorus actually popped into my head, and I just turned right to it. Number 95, Hallelujah, He's an Answering God. Number 95. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came.
Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and my faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an
God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God.
I prayed in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah,
praise the Lord. Well, we serve a God where nothing is impossible. We serve a God who can do all things. We serve a God who's never stuck. He's never in a situation where He doesn't know what to do. He's never trapped. He's never caught. He's never backed up against the wall. Our God can do anything. All things are possible if we would just believe. So why don't we go to number 105 and sing Only Believe, number 105.
Only believe.
It is so amazing how quickly time will go when you're worshiping the Lord. Seems like just a couple minutes go by, and then you look at the clock, and it's already almost time to start the Bible study. But praise the Lord, we're going to take up the collection. Tim, would you mind? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank you this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done for us, for thy love and thy care, for thy sustaining power. O God, we thank thee for all that thou hast given us. We thank thee for this building that thou hast given us where we can gather. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us the ability to maintain this building so that we may come together and worship thee. We thank thee for this ministry that thou hast given us. We know it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we have this ministry, and we are so thankful for all that thou hast done for us. I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus, but before we do that, we have a couple of things we need to pray about. I know Gordon, he was moved to Appleton yesterday by his daughter, and he's, from what I understand, they put him in a very nice facility there, but we did hear the news that he had to go to the hospital today for low blood pressure, so we're going to pray for him. And then also, Rob's aunt has been on my mind too. I know he texted me last week and said that his Aunt Ginny had fallen and broke her leg, and she went to the doctor, and when they were taking care of her leg, they also discovered that she had cancer. they thought. I think they were going to do some additional tests and so forth. But from what Rob was saying last week, his aunt was taking it pretty hard and didn't want to see anybody. And you know, that's a very difficult thing. And I've been praying for her, but I feel like maybe we should pray for her tonight too. So we're going to pray for Gordon, and then we're going to pray for Rob's aunt. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Gordon, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven. I pray, O God, that thou hast healed his body and give him strength, and I pray, Lord, that he would feel thy touch. I pray that thy healing virtues would flow, and I pray that all things that are wrong would be corrected, for we know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God. And I pray, O God, that he would reach out to thee and feel thy presence, to know that thou art right there with him, to know that thou art almighty God, and that nothing is too hard for thee. Be with Gordon, we pray, each and every day, and lead, guide him, direct him in the way of truth, we ask. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, I also come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Rob's aunt. I pray, Lord, that thou hast reached down from heaven and comfort her soul. Inspire her, God, to draw nigh to thee, to reach out to thee. Help her to seek thee early, for we know, O God, that thou art a healer, a deliverer, and that nothing is too hard for thee, nothing is impossible with thee, and that even cancer cannot defeat thee, Lord. And I pray that thou wilt speak to her soul. Help her to reach out to thee. Help her to lean on thee and the strength that thou wilt provide. And we ask this and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to get started with our Bible study in just a moment, but we're going to sing one more song. And, you know, it seems like such an appropriate chorus to sing before we start a Bible study. It's number 157 in the chorus book, Open Our Eyes, Lord, number 157.
Open our eyes, Lord, we want
Praise the Lord. Well, I know I can feel His presence here tonight. Glory to God. Well, we are going to go ahead and start our Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's, you know, it's wonderful to sing those faith-building songs. It's just wonderful. I just couldn't help but think years and years ago when I was quite little, and I remember I was at my grandfather's house, and he and my step-grandmother had a piano there, and I could remember just touching it and trying to play it, and of course I couldn't, but I just remember going to the Lord and bending down on my knees and just saying, Lord, help me to play the piano. And, you know, I could remember, well, I prayed so that I went back and see if I could play the piano. Well, didn't quite answer like that, but praise the Lord, He does answer. He is an answering God. He does know how to answer in His time and in His ways, and you know, I'm so thankful, you know, the little things that He does for us that help us, you know. And every time we sing that song, Only Believe, I don't know what it is, but must be that way back when I was really little, there must have been a tent meeting or something, because I can just hear them singing that somehow in a tent meeting. And you know, those tent meetings, those earlier decades, you know, people used to get healed. People used to get saved. People used to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? We need that now. We need these old time meetings where, you know, the power of God comes down and He answers our needs and things change in our lives and we don't leave the same that we came. We need these times of refreshing with the Lord. You know, if we needed them back in the 50s and the 60s, how much more now? How much more now as the coming of the Lord is even closer? You know, what He did back then, He can do today. He hasn't changed one bit. But as He said, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? And how we need it. We need faith to believe God and to go forward. Amen. Amen. To go forward. And of course, by the grace of God, I'm going to be speaking on going forward here tonight. But let's, first of all, let's just pray and talk to the Lord here a minute. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You that You brought us here tonight, Lord. We thank You for these times, oh Lord, when we can meet with You, when we can mingle our voices together, when we can praise Thee and worship You, Lord, and we can have this fellowship, Lord. All these times when Your presence comes down, and oh Lord, we know that You take care of those needs, oh Lord, those things that, oh God, seem almost impossible, Lord, but yet You are here, oh Lord, You are here, oh God, that God who can do all things. We thank You, Lord, oh God, that we can be in Thy place, oh Lord, we can dwell in Thy presence, oh Lord, and we ask that You'd open our eyes up so that we can see You, Lord Jesus, that the world can see You through us. Pray that You talk to us tonight, Lord, that You give us those ears to hear, that mind to perceive, O Lord, that old-fashioned faith, O Lord, that was once delivered to the saints, God. Oh God, I pray that You revive us and help us to stand in Your sight, Lord. Oh God, for so many are dead, and oh God, have turned away, Lord. And oh, so many don't remember, oh Lord, the good things of God and could care less. But here we are tonight, Lord. I pray that You prick our hearts, that You talk to us. Pray that You'd reach out to save, oh Lord God, and that You touch us, Lord, that You meet the needs of these people, Lord. Oh God, both sitting here and online. Oh God, You know how to do it. You know how to change us. Oh God, You know how to give us faith. God, You know how to restore us, God. We ask, oh Lord, that you would move, Lord. Oh God, that faith would be in our hearts, that you would touch us afresh. And oh God, give us that zeal that we need for you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you give me the scripture that I need to teach here tonight. And oh God, that you touch us one and all, Lord. Oh God, that you bring somebody to salvation tonight, Lord. And oh God, that lives would be changed, oh Lord, for we need you, Lord. Before this is over, God, I pray that you would use us. In the name of Jesus, that you change us. Oh God, you get us to that higher ground, that place where we need to be with you, Lord. Let the devil be rebuked in every hindering spirit, oh Lord, everything that would come against us. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd allow faith to operate in our hearts, oh God, and that you would change us, that you'd mold us. Oh God, that you'd reformat us, Lord God. Help us, God, for without you we can do nothing. And here we come. Oh Lord, let your presence come down and touch us. Meet our needs, we pray, in Jesus' name. Oh God, and make us fit for thy kingdom, Lord, for thy coming is at hand. We need you now, in Jesus' name, we need you, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you talk to our hearts, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I did go to Exodus 14, and I'm going to go back there for a moment here. Had a very lingering thought, and I kind of knew it as I was studying, but here we go, to just see what the Lord might show us here tonight, because there is a need. Like never before, I don't know, as we were singing, I was thinking about those old-fashioned tent meetings that they used to have. Brother Coot used to talk about those, and they had them in Japan, and they used to be, just very common. And I don't know, we're living in oppressive times. But yet I do believe there are a people that can be touched and that are waiting, that are in the balance, and they're waiting. They don't know what to do. They're confused. They've maybe never even heard. They might be in some other religion. And, blinded to the truth. But here we are tonight. God has given us so much. And I know it's time for us to share it like never before and to tell it like never before, because if we'll go forth and let the Lord use us, I know that he'll go with us. Praise the Lord. Exodus 14, and it says here, tells this story here, and we know that the children of Israel were in dire straits. They were up against the Red Sea, and it didn't seem like it was possible to get over. Oh, they were crowded out with Egyptians behind them, and it must have seemed impossible. In fact, we know that when the Israelites saw what was happening, they were sore afraid, it tells us, and they cried out unto the Lord, and then they began to reprove Moses and blame him for taking them out of Egypt into the wilderness, and all it was, there they were. They were being tested. They were up against a wall. In this case, it was like up against the sea and the enemy behind them, and it just seemed like there was no way to go. And I mean, it's not like there's just a couple of people either. There's, I'm sure several million, and here they are. But is our God too small to answer these kind of prayers? Is he too little to make impossibilities become realities? No. It was that Moses, by faith, stood there before the people in verse 13 and said, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." He said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And I think that is so wonderful, letting God do his work. So many times we try to do things our own way. And, we make things complicated. We make things harder than they need to be, instead of just letting the Lord operate and do his own work. We try to interfere. But here he's telling them, to fear not, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, just reassuring them that those Egyptians that were behind them, that they could see at that moment, that they would see them again no more forever, that the Lord was going to fight for them and they were going to hold their peace. And then verse 15, Moses had reassured the people, and then the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." And this is where I'm getting my message from tonight. Here they were. It was essential that they do something. They were against great odds, and it looked impossible. But God told them. He told Moses particularly, "Don't just cry unto me, but go forward. Speak unto those children of Israel and tell them to go forward." And then he gave Moses the specific instructions that he needed. "But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Very specific instructions. And look, they didn't come until the last minute. And here it was. God is telling them exactly what to do. And we know that he did it. He made a way for them to cross that Red Sea. And of course, Moses did stretch out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused that sea to go back by that east wind, and all night long, oh yes, the wind was a-blowing, and oh, the sea was being divided, and it went and went and went until there was a highway in the middle of the sea, and there was a wall of water on each side of them, and they were able to go into the midst of the sea and walk across it on dry ground. The waters were as a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Of course, we know as far as the Egyptians were concerned, God took care of them. Oh yeah, they thought they could cross too, and they began to cross. But those chariots, oh yes, began to stick. And they began to have trouble. And then they decided, well, we've got to get out of here. But it didn't work. Oh yes, the Lord used it all so that they never did get out of the sea, but they drowned in that sea, and the Israelites were delivered. Those, indeed it was, as Moses had said, those Egyptians that you see today, also see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Exactly what happened. Praise the Lord. But there was a need. You know, if they would have refused to do anything, then they would have drowned or something would have happened. The Egyptians would have had the advantage over them. But praise the Lord made a way. And the instructions that he gave them, that they would go forward, and this specifically what they would do, what they could do, what Moses was allowed to do, so that that sea was divided. But there was that need for them to go forward, to go forward. Oh yes, and allowing the Lord to work. Again, so often I think people jump ahead. It looks like God's not going to do anything, or you know, he's just playing too slow. And I think so often people run to their own solutions, not waiting for God take charge and do his will. You know, he's going to test, he's going to try. And of course we know that God didn't take the Israelites into Canaan land by an easy route. He was going to allow them to go around in that wilderness to tempt and to try them, to see what they were made of and to see what they could withstand, if they would be a people of faith, if they would go forward. So here it was, but so often I do believe that people jump ahead of God, not waiting for him to fight the battle for them and to allow them to know his will. But here it is. We have wonderful opportunities tonight because God has taken us into this situation here where we have so much. We've been able to reap of the good things of God. There's many things that He's blessed us with, and we have His Word that He's opened up unto us. And as we live in this last day period, these end times, I believe it's a time for us to show faith like never before. I think we all know that in order to have faith, you have to have works, that the two work hand in hand together. Of course, if we go to James, the second chapter, and let's go there for a minute. That essentiality of having works with our faith is very clear in the second chapter of James. If we look at verse 14, it tells us, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. It doesn't matter how much faith you think you have if you don't use it. It tells us in verse 19, Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. For wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And then he talks about Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest then how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Oh, I'll say that was a hard test when Abraham was told to offer his son Isaac, his only son, long-awaited son, upon the altar. Of course, it was a test, and he didn't really have to do it. But God was seeing. He was testing him. He was trying his faith to see if he would believe God against all odds, and if he would submit himself to the will of God. I thank God that Abraham passed that test, that God was with him, and therefore his faith was justified by his works, and those works made his faith perfect, as it tells us in verse 22. And verse 23 says, And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So here it is, just very clear. Rahab, if she wouldn't have shown faith, she would have been saved. You know, she had to put that scarlet cord in the window there. She believed that the Israelites were going to march through and take over Jericho. She had that kind of faith, but there was something she had to do, and she was told that as many as she could gather into her rooms, that they too would be saved. And God honored that faith. She was saved by that faith that she showed, and justified by those works. And so it is, it tells us here in this chapter, for as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now taking this a step further, we know that the Lord Jesus gave us a commission. And he was on earth. He didn't leave us without instructions. He knew that he wasn't going to be here on this earth forever, but he You know, he clearly told us that he would send forth a comforter, that he would not leave us comfortless, that he would come unto us. And he, before he ascended into the heavens, he gave his followers specific instructions. Let's just go to Matthew 28 here for a moment and read what Jesus said before he ascended into heaven. We go here, Matthew 28, way to the end. Looking at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So there it was. He's telling them clearly that all power was given unto him, both in heaven and in earth. And therefore he told them, this is what I want you to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And not only baptizing them in the name, and of course you notice that's singular, we know what the name of the Father is and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. And then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then that precious promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's also go to the last part of the book of Mark, where again we see Jesus' final words in the words of Mark as he was recording it here. Looking at verse 14 here, chapter 16 of Mark, and again, the final words that Jesus was telling them before he ascended. It says in verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And I do marvel what a time they had, you know, just believing that Jesus had really been risen from the dead, that he was a resurrected Lord. They had trouble with that. But praise the Lord, he just kept on proving it. And finally, I'm sure they grasped that reality. He did everything to make himself known, but yet he did scold them, he did upbraid them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they hadn't initially believed them that had seen him after he was risen. But then he told them in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So again, it repeats pretty much the same message that we have there at the end of Matthew, the Great Commission, that need to go into the world. And look, it says, preach the gospel to every creature. And then the need to baptize those that believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Then here in Mark, it goes on to give us more. It says in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Very specific things that shall follow them that believe. Very positive statements here. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. very positive. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Positive promises of God. Amen. It tells us in verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And I like the spirit of those that heard this message. They just didn't, you know, say, okay, that's good. You know, I heard that. But there were works that followed their faith. And it tells us in verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. What I see here is we have a very faithful Lord. He's told us what to do. He's told us the need to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he's told us that, you know, the need for them to be baptized in order to be saved. And then those signs that follow the children of God, those that believe, the casting out of devil, the speaking in tongues, taking up serpents. And I don't mean just tempting the Lord by going to scoop up serpents, deadly serpents, to see if they're going to bite you. But I believe this means the enemy, devils, and those that would oppose us. And you know that promise, if we drink any deadly thing, it's not going to hurt us. And that promise, if we lay hands on the sick, that they shall recover. I love it how these believers, they went forth. They didn't make a whole bunch of excuses and ignore what Jesus had said and think it was for somebody else. But I see them as a body of Christ going forth and preaching everywhere, just telling everyone that they could see and sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. And as they did it, something happened. The Lord worked with them. He worked with them as they went forth and did what they were told. He worked with them and he confirmed his word, the word that had been spoken, with signs following. That's exactly what happened as they went forth, preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming his word with signs following. You know, God's promises are yea and amen. And if we just look at them a minute, we know that God has declared that it's impossible for him to lie. And we know there from 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, that what he has declared is yea and amen. It's not yea and nay, but it's yea and amen. In other words, it's positive. What he has said, he meant. It wasn't, you know, just for a few select people, but it's for the whole body of Christ. If you look at 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, for a moment, verse 17, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. In other words, yes, yes, yes. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Again, you just see there's no room to quibble here. There's, you know, no room to make excuses. He's just establishing the fact that his promises are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. You know, I just remember one of my last conversations with Brother Lance. He was talking about those years that he spent there in the Philippines as a missionary. And, you know, he was sharing that there as he was preaching the word, and I know he established many churches there, that the people, when they would hear, they would believe. When they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, they came up speaking in other tongues. When he laid hands on them, they recovered from their diseases. They had just that simple faith, just to believe God that, you know, if God said it, then it's true. And I can believe it. And I can grasp it. I can accept that. And I love that. He said that that simplicity was there. We know that we need that faith of a little child. You know, a faith that of a little one has, just to accept things and not question it and go about, a whole line of, reasonings, false thinking, presumptions, and all this and that, the things that so often hinder. But how wonderful it is to know that God's promises are yea and amen. They're established. They're settled. You know, they're not up for doubt. They're not up for question. You know, we can accept them. We can embrace them. We only can have faith and go forward. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Of course, this chapter tells about the great need to seek the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him while he is near us. We look at verse 6, that need to repent. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And again, you see the wonderful promises of God. If one could just be wise enough to leave off the old sins, to forsake the ways of the world, the wicked ways, and those unrighteous thoughts, if they could only do so and return unto the Lord, the graciousness of our God, the mercy of our God, he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Again, those positive statements. God's wonderful grace and mercy toward those that fear him and come unto him and forsake their evil ways. And then the concept, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then it comes down to verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And then it tells us in verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In other words, the Lord bringing forth blessings to his people, God's response to those that would go forth, that word that comes forth out of our mouths when we bring forth the word of God, that promise that, you know, his word is not going to return void. It's not going to be empty, but there's going to be something that happens when God's word goes forth. I know the book of Jeremiah talks about the word of God as being a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. And there's something about it, that word, when we keep on listening to it, when it keeps on echoing in our hearts and in our minds, in our ears, that it brings forth faith. And it breaks down the things that seem unbreakable, that, you know, seem like they don't want to move. But yet there's that hammer that goes forth, the word of God, bringing forth the truth of God's word, his mercy, his grace, the need to repent, the need to get right. Oh, that precious word in that promise here, it shall not return unto me void or empty, but it's going to accomplish that which I please, that which the Lord is pleased to send forth. It will do, and it shall prosper. It's going to have a good end. There's something that's going to come forth out of the word of God. It's going to prosper in a thing whereto I sent it. And it talks about going forth with joy and being led forth with peace. Oh, yeah, the response, the blessings that come forth when the word of God comes forth. Notice that you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. I just want to go to Psalms 126 here for a moment. Just keeping those thoughts in mind here. Psalms 126. Verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice again, oh yes, there's those times of sowing. Oh, there's those times of weeping. That's time of travail, those times of heaviness, those times when you know, there are loved ones in jeopardy. There are souls in jeopardy. But praise the Lord, there's something that we can go forth and do. We can go forward with the word of God. Here's this promise again. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more joyful. There's nothing that brings greater happiness to our hearts than seeing lives changed, to seeing responses from the gospel, to being able to share the word of God with somebody and see a life turned around. There's nothing that brings greater joy than that. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And here, verse 6, that promise, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, sowing the good word. Oh yes, we don't know who it's going to hit. Oh yes, there's all those different grounds. But praise the Lord, there's a promise here. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That word of God is going to bring forth. It's going to prosper. It's going to accomplish the things which the Lord hath pleased. And I believe these are promises of the Lord. But there's a need there to put faith to works, to show forth, to go forth and do the commission, to preach the gospel to every creature, to send forth the good news, to share it. Oh, yes, the need to do so. But the promises of God are so amazing. That fact that, you know, you go forth, that word goes forth out of my mouth. It's not going to return unto me void. There's going to be some end to it. Oh, there's going to be a good end to it. It's not going to return void, but it's going to accomplish the thing that God is pleased with, that which he has set it for. He put it in our hearts to do so. And you know when it is, when you know somebody stops by and you know you have that opportunity to share with them, or you know you don't always know. Sometimes it's that person who looks, you know, so out there, so wild, you know, so crazy, you know, you can't even hardly imagine the Lord turning them around. But I'll tell you, you just never know. Sometimes those people show the most amazing responses. But praise the Lord, the good news is going to prosper in the thing whereto the Lord sent it. And I'll tell you what, that brings forth a joy that only God can give us. because we're going forth sowing the word and bringing it forth, knowing that one day there's going to be something that comes forth, that there's going to be a harvest, that there's going to be somebody who's going to hear and understand and realize their great need. There's going to be somebody that's hungry and thirsty, somebody who's looking, somebody who's seeking. I praise the Lord. He didn't leave us without tools, without a means. One great purpose of the gift of the Holy Ghost is that we would have that power that we need, that dynamite that we need to witness in this world, to be a light in this world that is so dark. Just looking here at Acts, the first chapter. And of course, again, Jesus' final words. And it's interesting how it's all laid out just a little bit different. And, you know, each of the Gospels and in here in the book of Acts, just before Jesus ascended. And it tells us here, looking at verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? See, they didn't quite grasp it yet. The kingdom that the Lord Jesus came to establish was a spiritual kingdom. And he said unto them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but here's the power that he wanted his children to have. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There it was, that power that they were promised that they would receive when the Holy Ghost came upon them, and it would make them a light in this dark world. Oh yes, a light that can be seen. And if we are the children of the Lord, we're not going to take our light and hide it under a bushel, but we're going to put that light on the candlestick, so that it can be seen by all. It can be a light unto all that we come across. Because a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And therefore our light is to shine before all men, so they can see our good works and therefore glorify our Father which is in heaven. But that is what he gave us. He gave us that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost so that we wouldn't be helpless, so that we could go forth and do the work that he had begun. And he told us, oh yes, in John the 14th chapter, he told us that greater works than these that I have done shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. He made it really clear. He said, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And praise the Lord. Yes, he said he wasn't going to leave us comfortless, but he was going to pray the Father, who was going to give another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But Jesus said, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost is, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to dwell in our hearts, in our lives, so that we could be changed individuals, so that we could be a light in this dark world. Oh, yes, and that we could be a witness. Oh, yes, that we could do those greater works than these shall ye do, as Jesus told us, because I go unto my Father, those commissions that he gave us. So there's that promise. Oh, yes. And not only that, but he gave us authority to do it. Oh, yes, he gave us the power and the authority to go forth. In Matthew's 18th chapter, verse 18, he told us, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He gave us that kind of power and authority that we could go forth in the name of Jesus Christ and declare it, that we could bind the spirits that try to hinder us and overcome us and overwhelm us. We can bind those hindrances in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and take authority over them. And yes, and loosen the attributes, the needs that need to be loosened in the name of the Lord, so that his will can be done, that he can use us as mere creatures here on earth, flesh and blood, but yet he can use us because we have authority in the Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 19 here in Matthew 18, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Oh, God's wonderful promises and that authority that he gave us. You know, we don't have to be afraid in this world. Oh, so often people are afraid. And we know the children of Israel were afraid when they realized the Egyptians were behind them and the sea was in front of them and they had no place to go and they were afraid. But praise the Lord, Moses said, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For these Egyptians which you see today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace." Oh, yes. And the Lord made a way that we could come unto him. Oh, yes, he said there in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 18, Jesus said that he saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. And then in the 11th chapter of Luke, he told us that if he with the finger of God, verse 20, Luke 11, if he with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. He talked about what a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. I'll tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Oh yes, if we go to Colossians, the 2nd chapter. Oh, we can read what Jesus did. Verse 15. Oh yes, there at Calvary. Oh yes, there as he was suspended between heaven and earth there on that cross. Oh yes, in all that agony and, you know, with all of those unbelievers mocking him and making cruel remarks and all the jeering that was going on, all the scornful things and all the wondering and, you know, if thou be the Son of Man, if thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross. And, you know, all the things that they were saying. But the Lord Jesus was bringing forth great victories as there he was on the cross. Oh yes, as he was dying for us and taking our sin. Oh yes. Oh yes, that prince of the world was cast out at that point. He has told them in John the 12th chapter, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. Yes, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." There he was on the cross. there, taking our sins and drawing us unto himself so that we could have hope, so that we could have everlasting life, so our sins could be forgiven, so that we could come to him. Whether we were Jews or whether we were Gentiles, we could come to him and embrace his salvation. And what he was doing there, oh yes, there was a work wrought there on the cross beyond any comprehension there in the heavenlies. So, oh Lord, there was a great parade, you could say, as the Lord was bringing forth salvation. It tells us in Colossians, the second chapter, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh, yes, they were removed. Satan doesn't have access to the heavenlies anymore. He was cast out at that point, and those fallen angels with them. And there it was. Oh, that show, as God was taken over, he was avenging, oh Lord, his people there as he was taken over, spoiling those principalities and powers, making a show of them openly, triumphing over them, giving his people power over the enemy, giving us the ability to bind and to loosen those hindrances, those spirits, the opposition, the things that come against us. And he, you know, he gave us that ability. Luke, the 10th chapter, Jesus said that we would tread, upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We're going to stamp on it. We're going to knock it out. We're going to be able to trample it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's the authority that he gave to the church. Oh, yes. And that also, that according to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The strongholds that try to overwhelm us. The strongholds that try to hinder us. God has given us that authority and that power to overcome. Oh, yes, to trample them, to live above all of that. Yes, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yes, we're not fighting with guns and ammunition, but we're fighting spiritual warfare in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have that power, that authority to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, all these things, these hindrances, these demonic influences, these individuals that are possessed and are here for filthy reasons, with no love for God's people. But God has given us power to tread upon them. As it says in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, again, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. The wonders of a people that will have faith. The wonders of a people that will go forth and just believe God, taking him at his word and doing the will of God and not fearing what men shall do. You know, once in a while I get letters from people who are afraid. You know, there's a witch down the street or somebody that they think is casting spells on them. I'll tell you what, we have power over them They should be the ones that are afraid. They are the ones that should be pitied. Their power is not of God. We serve the living God who has all authority and all ability and all power. And He's given us as His children that same power and privilege, that same authority through Him, that we can bring down the strongholds, those things that try to overwhelm us and take over and, you know, cast us down and hinder us. All those things that bring about doubts and fears, trembling, all of those things can be overcome through the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. His promises are yea and amen. We can rest in His promises. We can know that what He has declared, He will do. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to acquiesce to the power of the enemy, those that come against God, whose intention is to bring down the people of God. And here we are in these closing moments of time, I believe, with so much happening in this world, and you know, you could see the potential. There was ever a time, though, for us to go forward. It is now. I know I just proofread Sam's newsletter, and you know, we live in a little town here. We live in Beaver Dam, and it's not a very big place at all, but you know, we sure hear a lot of sirens going off, usually several times during the day. I hear sirens if I'm at home. You see squad cars all the time pulling people over, and lo and behold, last year there were 20 deaths due to heroin in Dodge County, the very county that we live in, and right here in Beaver Dam. 20 people die because of the bondage that they have to heroin and other drugs. I'll tell you what, we have a mission. There's something that needs to be done as the children of the Lord. You know, we are not helpless. We have something to share. It doesn't matter just what the enemy may try to do. They're treading upon us. They're trying to trample. But there is one that is greater than all the powers of the enemy. Oh, yes, and if we serve Him with all our heart, if we serve Him fervently, if we live for Him and have surrendered our hearts, and cast aside the things of this world, and purpose to go forward, there is nothing too hard for our God. We can only believe if we could cast aside the doubts and all the fears and all the excuses that people come up with all the time, and all the reasons why we can't do this or do that. But we serve a God, and He's given us a commission. He's told us to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." And He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe in My name. Ye shall cast out devils. Ye shall speak with new tongues. Ye shall take up serpents. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. He shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Oh, yes, He brought forth the Holy Ghost. And how we need the Holy Ghost. Oh, we need that power with God. We need that authority with God. It's part of His package. It's a very big part of His package. He did not want to leave His people powerless, comfortless. He knew that they needed a great strength in order to do the works of God, to go forward, to preach the gospel, to have those signs following. They had to have something greater than themselves. So praise the Lord, He did send forth His Spirit. So we know on the day of Pentecost, it came forth. Oh yes, as they were all assembled together there in the upper room. Oh yes, as that sound of a mighty rushing wind filled the house where they were sitting. And all at once, there appeared unto them those cloven tongues like as a fire that sat upon each and every one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Yes, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God came into their lives, changing them, giving them that power, that authority, that ability to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt them. Oh, and that goes for us too, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and He changes not. And you know what He said? As we read there in Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And I love those words. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Here we are. Here we are with our assignment, our need to go forward, to believe God, not to make excuses. But oh, yes, we can have that power with God. We can have that authority with God. Oh, yes, we can have power over the enemy. That ability He has given us, if we will just go forth, believe what He said, go forth and do it. Just as they, that early church, you know, after Jesus had spoken it forth, what did they do? As it tells us there again in Mark, the 16th chapter, after He ascended into heaven, what did they do? They went forth. They preached everywhere, and praise the Lord, the Lord worked with them. The Lord worked with them. He sees that faith. You going forth, bearing precious seeds. You see that with weeping, crying out, bringing forth the gospel, handing out those tracts, those prayers down on your knees when you're seeking and praising the Lord and worshiping Him and interceding for the world, for your loved ones, for those people out there who so desperately need the Lord. God sees that. And praise the Lord, just as He worked with the early church, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. He's still God. And as I see it, we have an open door. Not shut. He's still calling people. I talked with a young man today. He came to my door and wants to come to church. He's expressed it several times. And I know the Lord had brought him. And he said as soon as he has a moment, he lives a little bit of a distance from us, but he says, "I'm going to come." But I know there are people out there. People that the Lord is calling. People that the Lord is dealing with. People that we can yet reach. There's that open door. We'll just go forth believing what the Lord has said, honoring His word, going forth with that gospel, bringing forth that precious seed. Oh, knowing that we have doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The need to go forward. Oh, yes. To let the Lord work in our lives. And His promises coming forth, therefore. Those signs following His people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Tim is with us here tonight. And he's going to come and close his service. It's been wonderful to have him here. I think he's going to be gone for a season, but I'm hoping he'll be back. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Shirley. It was another wonderful message. I really appreciate hearing messages that give you exhortation and comfort, strength, encouragement. I've always thrived on that. And that exciting moment when you become a Christian and you find that you don't have to walk in defeat, you know? You don't have to cower behind fear of what the enemy might do to you. And I'm kind of reminded of how that King David, in light of what Shirley had made mention of, how that Goliath dared to mock God's people. And you know, when we have that boldness of Jesus in our life, He gives us that strength to overcome and to say, hey, I don't have to hide behind that pillar. I don't have to hide behind that wall of fear. No, we can put the enemy to flight. And I thank God that we have that strength and power to do so, that He gives it to us. Amen. And, you know, we all need to be revived. And before we close out in that song, I wanted to go to Revive Us Again, number 291. But before we close out there, I'm kind of reminded of a story real quick that I had remembered being in El Paso, Texas, visiting a friend of mine, Mike and Jackie Bumgardner, and they do missions work across the border, you know. And I remember watching this guy bound over, carrying a big sack, and he was hunched over like this, and he was walking like this. And in that knapsack of his was liquor. And how it is true that oftentimes people walk defeated lives in bondage to sin and many other things that keep them hunched over, walking down their back forward and not having the strength to overcome. But we can overcome, and we can move onward and upward. We can go forward in the Lord. But it takes the Holy Ghost, and it takes the strength and power that He gives us to revive us. So I thank Shirley for that message. And I hope it touches people out there, whoever's listening, and I'm sure it will. But let us sing that song, number 291, Revive Us Again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for rid of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who was born all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. Be dismissed unto prayer, amen.
Mm-hmm.